Unity.com.
After I first got out of college, I spent a couple of years as a mover, and I worked for a company called Two Men in a Truck. You've probably seen their trucks around. They're actually not just two men in a truck. It's this big national franchise, but what you get is two men and a truck, okay? So I worked for this company for a couple of years, and by the time I was done, I was an assistant manager with the store that I was a part of, or the franchise I was a part of. And it was a really good experience. As assistant manager, I ended up training a lot of people in how to move efficiently and effectively and where to put things so that it didn't get damaged and, you know, don't lay the mirrors down on the floor, that kind of thing. Bad place to sack them. So how to pack a truck, how to load a truck, how to move furniture, that sort of thing. And it was good, but then when people would come in and learn those basics, then eventually they could become also not just a mover, but a mover and a driver. Now, when driving a truck is a little bit different than driving a car. So in a truck, with a big 24-foot trailer on the back, when you look around you, you can't see anything in your blind spots or behind you. There's a rearview mirror, but you're not looking at anything except for the trailer. So you need to use some different mirrors. And I would have to train people how to navigate this truck. You know, don't back up unless someone's behind you so they can guide you in. Make sure you're taking wide turns, etc. And then one of the most important things that you had to know was how to use the mirrors. Here's an example of if you're not familiar with driving in a truck, like that, an example of what you're going to use. So there's a big rectangular mirror on top, and it kind of runs along next to the truck and right in that immediate space. But then there's the bubble mirror, which would help you see what would be in a normal blind spot of a car. And so you need to use both to see what you're doing. Well, I was training a guy, and I remember his face. I can't remember his name, so for the sake of the story, I'll just call him Joe. I was training this guy, Joe, in how to drive the truck. And I worked with him for a few days. He seemed to be doing great, got it all down, showed him all the ropes. And we're out driving from one house to another here in Oshkosh, and he's in the left lane, needs to move over into the right lane. So he puts on his blinker, and he begins to head over into the right lane. Now, I'm looking at the bubble mirror next to me, and there's a car right alongside the truck. Okay, so I start to freak out, and I'm like, Joe, get back. No, don't get back. And, I was just freaking out because I knew he was going to hit it. The guy pulls up onto the curb to try and avoid the truck, but eventually he couldn't. We just sideswiped the entire car. All right, so no one was hurt, fortunately, and we called the police and did the report and all that, and it all got taken care of. Again, fortunately, no one was hurt. But after this is all said and done, we get back in the truck. Now, this time, I'm in the driver's seat. We're going to have me do this. And so we're going to the move, and I'm like, Joe, what happened? And Joe's like, well, I just didn't see him. And I'm like, did you use your bubble mirror? And Joe is sitting in the seat, and he looks over at the bubble mirror and back at me, and then back to the bubble mirror again, and he looks and he goes, oh, that's what that's for. I'm like, yes, Joe, that's what that's for. It's been like 3 days, and he's driving around, and he had no idea what he was doing with this bubble mirror for some reason, even though we told him what he was supposed to be doing. You know, and so just bad accident occurred. You know, whenever we have blind spots, they can leave us vulnerable, which is why you've got those bubble mirrors. Now, modern day vehicles, they're even putting in different things to warn you about that. Like there's cameras that can show you what's in your blind spot. I think there's some like lights on your mirror when you're going to go over there that can tell you if a car is in the area. Sometimes there's even like alarms that will go off in your car, like ding, 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 don't do this, okay? And Joe could have used that at that particular point in time, but, you know, didn't have that back then. So whenever we have these blind spots, they can leave us really vulnerable. Now, we're working through a passage in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be on this for a few weeks. In this supernatural series. And Paul talks about how we're in a spiritual battle against a very formidable enemy. Okay, Satan, the devil, he has certain schemes that he's going to use against us. And so Paul gives us two commands, and he says, first of all, you've got to be strong in the Lord. You've got to be strong in the Lord. You can't fight a spiritual battle with your own strength. You need strength from God, and he will give it to you. So be strong in the Lord. That's the first command he gives. The second command he gives is put on the armor of God, right? To put on the armor of God. And when we do this, we'll be able to do two things. We'll be able to stand firm in our faith, stand firm against the devil's schemes, and hold our ground, hold our territory, but also to press ahead with the gospel and the truth and the hope of Jesus. That's the ultimately, that's what spiritual warfare is supposed to be about, standing firm, pressing ahead with the gospel. So, but we're going to have a hard time doing those two things if we have spiritual blind spots in our lives. A spiritual blind spot would be maybe an area of our life where we are off base, we're out of line with what God wants for us, but we don't realize it. And when areas of our lives like that can go unchecked, they can end up causing great damage for us or for others. I remember a time a number of years ago that I was working with student ministries at Christ the Rock, and there was a friend of mine who was a volunteer helping out with the area. And on the course, we were planning this big night and all kinds of things to set up and fancy, you know, lighting and things like that. So there was a point in time where we're working on that, but then, you know, they needed to turn the lights on in the room for something, and then eventually we needed them turned off. So I was just like, hey, we need the lights off. Turn the lights off. And so my friend walks over and he turns the lights off. We did our thing. It was a good night and all that. A couple of days later, we're having lunch, and he's like, Eric, I just want to tell you something. When you kind of yelled out those instructions to me to turn these lights out, it was like you were just trying to boss me around. Like you didn't care about me or anything. You just wanted this done, and it really hurt. Now, I mean, that was hard to hear. I was disappointed because I'm not trying to hurt my friend. I'm not trying to do something bad. And yeah, I could look at the moment and say, well, it was kind of tense. Everyone was in a hurry and blah, blah, blah. But bottom line was, yeah, I didn't realize how I was acting toward him. It was a blind spot for me. You know, I'm sure that spiritually none of us want to sideswipe someone we love or inflict damage to someone or even to ourselves because we have blind spots in our lives. Right? So how can we be sure that these blind spots aren't going to get the best of us? That's what we want to focus in on this morning as we look at the next piece of armor in this passage, which is the breastpiece or the breastplate of righteousness. So we're looking at Ephesians 6. If you want to turn there, we're just going to read a few of the verses from that passage. By the way, we use the ESV Bibles here. You can also download that as an app on your mobile device if you want to. It can be really helpful at times. But we're going to look at verse 13, start in verse 13. And here's what Paul writes. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're just going to pause there for this morning. So Paul is using this analogy of a Roman soldier preparing for battle. Now, as a soldier, they would have a garment that they would wear, sometimes a short garment, but in cooler weather, it'd be longer, a robe that might go down to your feet to keep your legs warm and that sort of thing. And the first piece of equipment that you put on would be a belt. And this belt, when you were off duty, just leave it loose and could keep the robe down to keep yourself warm. But if it was time to fight, if it was time for battle, you'd have to tighten up that belt and tuck in the robe so that you could run without tripping over it. And then you begin to fasten on the pieces of armor and the equipment that you had. So the first piece of equipment the soldier would put on was his belt. And Paul says that belt spiritually is a belt of truth, a belt of truth. The belt of truth we talked about last week, it's about having a genuine and honest relationship with Jesus. Right? We need a true understanding of who Christ is. Otherwise, we're going to end up falling for a knockoff version or a cheap imitation of Jesus rather than the real deal. So we have to put on the belt of truth. But then the next piece of armor, he says, is the breastplate of righteousness. And here's a bottom line for us this morning when we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. I believe here's what that's about. The breastplate of righteousness is about spiritual integrity. Okay, it's about spiritual integrity, living a life of spiritual integrity. It takes that belt of truth that we've already put on, that true understanding of Christ, and then applies it to our lives and lives it out. Okay, so just about the armor, the breastplate itself was usually made of like a solid piece of bronze. And it would cover from, you know, about the neck area to the waist or maybe down a bit lower. And sometimes it could also be made of like a chainmail, but it covered a large area of the body. But the main purpose or the main, thing that breastplate was considered was the heart protector. It was the heart protector. Now, when we use the word heart, as Paul's talking about the breastplate of righteousness and something that protects our heart, when we use the word heart, we typically think of our emotions, right? Like our heart represents anger or love or something like that. But the Greek word for heart in the New Testament, it's used like 120 times. It's cardia, and it refers to a lot more than that. It includes our emotions, but it's also our thoughts and our will. The heart represents the center of our being. And that's going to affect all the choices and decisions we make in our life. Now, specifically, Paul says put on this breastplate to protect that heart. But he calls it the breastplate of righteousness. When we talk about righteousness, it means being right with God, being in right standing with God. Now, a little quick theology about that. There's kind of two aspects of righteousness. There's first of all our positional righteousness. And here's what that's about. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, then we are declared righteous. Right? We become the righteousness of God, Scripture says. So it's about what Jesus has done for us and receiving that grace, that forgiveness, and being declared right with God. That's our positional righteousness. But then there's also the issue of practical righteousness. And practical righteousness is about how we live that out. And that's the righteousness here I think Paul is trying to get at. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart. Protect your heart because you've got to live out this faith. And if something's wrong with your heart, it's going to affect all that you do. So the breastplate of righteousness is about living with spiritual integrity. Now, why do we need this particular piece of armor? We're talking about spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle, and we understand that we have an enemy who wants to mess us up, right? That Satan, the devil, is out to devour us if he can. We need the breastplate of righteousness because Satan will try to affect our heart. Satan is going to try to affect our heart. Since our heart affects all the decisions and choices we make in life, you can be sure he's going after it. Okay, now we see an example of this in Scripture, actually, with Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. In Luke 22, 1 through 6, here's the story. It was their last supper that they spent together. Now, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Now Judas had been following Jesus for a couple of years. He was one of the 12. one of the 12 people who spent the most time with Jesus. He had heard Jesus' teachings. He had seen Jesus' miracles. He had an inner circle friendship with Jesus. But Satan was able to work his way into Judas's heart and get him to betray Jesus. Now, this isn't implying like some sort of demonic possession when it says Satan entered his heart. It's not that kind of thing. It simply means Satan was able to affect him. He was able to affect his heart. Now, why was Satan able to do this? Well, Judas had a blind spot. He loved money more than he loved Jesus. John's gospel actually clarifies this for us and tells us that Judas was the one who was in charge of the money bag, and he would often help himself to what was in it. It actually calls him a thief. So Satan saw this opportunity that he could take advantage of and got Judas to betray Jesus. Well, you can be sure that Satan will try to affect our hearts too, just like he did with Judas. With Judas, it was his love of money. What might it be for you? You know, could it be power or success, respect, love, sex, drugs or alcohol, anger, right? What might it be for you where Satan has an opportunity to affect your heart because of a blind spot in your life? Now, I can't answer that for each one of you here this morning, but whatever it is, he probably isn't going to come at it head on, right? Instead, he's going to use the blind spots in your life like he did with Judas, and it's a whole lot easier to get to our heart when we don't see him coming, okay? So a couple of things that Satan does, these aren't in your notes or anything, but a couple of things that Satan does to try to get us off track. He will promise us fulfillment if we just engage in a sinful activity, but then he leaves us empty and wanting more. Right? Like if we only get this gadget or get this car or this job with a little more money, then we'll be truly happy. So we go all in to get those things. We'll sacrifice our families, our moral standards, whatever, and then we get them and we're happy for a little while. For a little while. But then the emptiness sets in and we're looking for something more. We do this in relationships too. We think a love relationship is what's going to make us happy. So we're consumed with finding someone. And when we do, we go all in with them, even if it's not what God wants for us at the time. Well, it's going to come crashing down. And the pain from that broken relationship is going to be deeper than the emptiness we had in the first place that we are trying to fill. Satan promises fulfillment, but delivers emptiness and a wanting for more. Sometimes he entices us to fulfill a good or a godly desire in the completely wrong way. Right? And a pretty classic example of that is in regards to sex. Sex is a beautiful thing designed by God in its proper design. We understand what Scripture tells us is that God designed sex as an expression of love between a man and a woman within a committed, lifelong marriage relationship. That's God's ideal in Scripture. Right? But Satan has cheapened that for us. He deceives us into believing, well, it doesn't really need to be an expression of love. It doesn't matter who it's with, and it certainly doesn't have to be saved for marriage. We buy into that. We end up pursuing a good and a godly desire, but we go about it in the wrong way. And sometimes Satan takes, actually, not sometimes, all the time, he's trying to take what God created as good, and then he perverts it, turns it into something destructive and evil. Staying with the example of sex, sex is beautiful within God's design for it, but it's destructive and evil when it leads to affairs and sexual assault and rape or prostitution, pornography, pedophilia. Right? He takes what God created as good and perverts it. We've got to protect our heart because if we have blind spots in our lives, he'll get us going in the completely wrong direction. He's a deceiver. That's what he does. So how can we protect ourselves or recognize when we're going to have a blind spot in our lives? I think there's four ways that they often occur. So I want to share those with you quickly. Four ways we develop spiritual blind spots in our lives. First of all, we become numb to the truth. Right? We become numb to the truth. Our hearts get calloused, and we don't even pay attention to the truth anymore. Right? Now, Thomas and I were talking last weekend after church about playing guitar and playing bass and how, you know, when you're first getting started, your fingers are sore and the strings kind of eat into your fingers. But then eventually they strengthen up and you get these calluses on your fingers. And where that might sound bad to you if you don't play guitar, it's great if you do because that string stops eating into your fingers and causing pain. Right? So the calluses you develop, that's a good thing. If you're a guitar player, it helps you play better. But when we get callous to sin, it's a serious problem. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah when he was talking about people's poor spiritual condition, and he said this, "This people's heart has grown dull." And other translations say it has become calloused. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes are closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So he's offering forgiveness, he's offering healing, but they're so callous to their sin that they won't turn to him. When we become numb to the truth and start getting comfortable with sinful behavior, opportunity for a serious blind spot in our life. Satan will use that. So we become numb is one way. We pick and choose what we're going to follow. That's another way we often do it. Do you ever notice how many items there are in a grocery store? Like thousands, maybe tens of thousands. I don't know. It's a lot. A lot of different kinds. But when you go shopping, what are you looking for? The ones you want, right? The ones that you like. You're going to throw those into your cart and you're going to ignore all the rest, which is okay when you're grocery shopping. But if that's what we do with God's instructions for us in life, then there's going to be blind spots for us. We're not supposed to be selective about what areas we're going to follow and not follow when it comes to surrendering to Jesus. A third area that we often, that blind spots develop in is this. We deflect our own shortcomings. We deflect. Right? So we'll compare ourselves to someone else. Well, yeah, I know I messed up in this area and I'm not great here, but so-and-so has a way bigger problem than me. Right? We deflect. Now, that might be true. Honestly, it might be true. But we've got to own what's ours and not deflect it onto somebody else. Otherwise, all we're doing is deflecting that. We're avoiding what God wants for us instead of addressing the problem with the man or the woman in the mirror. And the fourth way we develop blind spots sometimes is we rationalize. Like we rationalize our sinful behavior. Right? What the scripture says about gossip or greed or lust, you know what? Those instructions are probably given for other people at a different time in history. They don't really apply to my situation. No, it was written for you. They're God's words to us. And if you believe that, you're in denial and you're just rationalizing your sin. When we do these things, we develop spiritual blind spots in our life, and it gives Satan a way to get to our heart. So here's a key question we can ask. And it's in your notes. You don't even have to write it down. Here's a key question we can ask, and I encourage you to do that this week. That'll help you address blind spots in your life. And here's the question. In what areas of my life has God spoken truth that I'm not presently following? Right? In what area of my life has God spoken truth that I'm not presently following? Now, maybe you can answer that question without even blinking. Right? Well, about six or seven things come to mind right now. All right? Well, maybe that's not such a good thing because it means we're really not addressing him. Look, if God has shown you something already in your life that you need to address, then let me encourage you, take whatever courageous steps in your life are needed to get those areas straightened out. It's what he calls us to do. You know, imagine that you're driving in one of those cars with the blinkers, blinker lights and the warning lights going off, and you got a camera that shows you that there's someone in your blind spot, You're not going to be like hearing those, seeing those lights, seeing that object, hearing the alarms ding, and then go, that's okay, I'm just going to pull over anyway. Crash. You're going to crash. But you wouldn't do that because you don't want to cause damage to yourself or to others. If you have an area like that in your life that's out of line with what God wants for you and you know it, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. If you do, it's like pulling into that lane when the warning lights are flashing all around you. Or it's like running into battle without putting your breastplate on. Okay, your heart will be in serious trouble. So you want to set things right. Now, as I say all this, I know this is a bit heavy, but please hear me clearly on this part. Having spiritual blind spots doesn't necessarily mean we don't love Jesus. Okay? Doesn't mean we don't love Jesus. We may love him very deeply, but when you have a blind spot, your life isn't going to show it. If you love Jesus and want to live a life of spiritual integrity, to put on that breastplate of righteousness, then here's the goal. The goal is this: get your life lined up with your love for Jesus. Right? Get your life lined up with your love for Jesus. Jesus said it pretty plainly to his disciples in John 14:15, and he said this: look, if you love me, keep my commands. Boom, drop the mic, right? If you love me, keep my commands. If you really love Jesus, your life is going to show it. You obey his commands, and you live them out. You get your life lined up with your love for Jesus. If your heart is for him, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're going to strive for spiritual integrity in every area of your life. And that means putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Get your life lined up with your love for Jesus. Now that means we're going to have to protect ourselves from blind spots in our lives. And maybe even identify what they are. So there are three things that I believe can help us discover the blind spots in our lives. And a spoiler alert, the first two things are the exact same thing we talked about last week. Okay? Because these two, the belt of truth, which is about knowing the truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, which is about living it out, they're very closely connected. So three things that can help you discover your blind spots. First of all, search the scriptures. Right? Search the scriptures. Compare your life to what you find in the Bible. God has given us the scriptures to lead and guide us through life. Right? It shows us what God considers right and what he considers wrong. We have instructions, all kinds of instructions about lying, gossip, stealing, finances, forgiveness, sexuality, and so on. In the scriptures, we're going to discover all that. But if we're not actively seeking what he wants for us and trying to discover that, then we're never going to know. It'll be a blind spot. So keep poring over the word of God so you can better understand his will for your life and how he wants you to live. Okay, and the second thing, again, from last week, let God search you. Let God search you. And what that's really about is asking him to reveal any areas where you're off base in your life. Okay? David wrote this in Psalm 139, in verses 1 through 4 and 23 through 24. Here's what he wrote. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And then he closes that psalm with these words, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now think about these words. God knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your very words before they even reach your tongue. And he knows your blind spots too. So ask him to reveal those to you. Search the scriptures and let God search you. And then one last thing that we can do, which honestly might be the best thing that we can do, but it also is probably the hardest thing for us to do. And that's this: ask other followers of Jesus who know you. Right? Ask other followers of Jesus who know you. You know, like my friend that I talked about earlier was willing to point something out to me that I didn't see. Ask other followers of Jesus who know you. Hey, are there any areas of my life that you see that are out of line with God that maybe I don't see? A number of years ago, there was a doctor named Gerald Hickson. Dr. Hickson had a wife who was having knee replacement surgery. And being a doctor, he wanted to stay with her through the entire procedure and the recovery because he wanted to make sure she was getting the best care possible and taking the right meds and getting up and moving around and avoiding blood clots and all the things that could go wrong after surgery. So he stayed with her. But while he was in the room, the hospital, during her recovery, he noticed that not all of the doctors and nurses that came into the room were washing their hands before treating his wife. Now, as they came in and out of the room, he counted there were 92 instances where a staff member had come in and should have washed their hands, and they only did it 32 times. Now, all of them knew that they were supposed to do this. But they had gotten proper instruction, but somehow it became a blind spot for them, and they just weren't doing it. So whenever he noticed a doctor or a nurse failed to wash their hands, he just politely reminded them to do so before treating his wife. Of course, the reactions of each person was a little bit different. Some were totally embarrassed by their mistake. Others became defensive and tried to give excuses as to why they didn't sanitize their hands. And others gratefully replied with a thank you and corrected their mistake. Now, there are a lot of morals we could pull from this story, but sometimes we need someone to point out where we're off track. Sometimes we need that. As David wrote Psalm 139 that we just read, you know, it was after following one of the most difficult times for him in his life. He was the greatest king in Israel's history, but he made some terrible mistakes. In fact, he carried out what some would call one of the most shocking plots in the Bible. We read about how he slept with another man's wife while that man was away at war. When he found out the wife became pregnant, he tried to cover it up, invited him back here, tried to get him to be with his wife. He refused to do it out of honor and for the sake of the men that he was fighting with. David tried to trick him by getting him drunk and have him still comply with that, and he wouldn't do it. So he sent the men back into battle and gave orders that the troops put him on the front line and then fall back and allowed him to be killed. Nathan, the prophet, confronted him about this. He called him out for the wicked things he had done. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. God himself said so. But he was terribly off in this because there was a blind spot in his life. Right? Sometimes we need a Nathan in our life to speak the truth about what we're doing, or a Dr. Hickson to help us recognize our blind spots. So ask other followers of Jesus who know you well what your blind spots are. And what they say might be hard to hear, but take their words to heart. Take their words to heart, because they will help you figure out where you have potential areas that can be real problems in your life. Okay? So we, in all of this, our goal is to get our lives lined up with our love for Jesus. Okay? We love Jesus. We want to live that out. So let's get our lives lined up with our love for Jesus. Search the scriptures. Let God search you. Ask others who know you to help you discover your blind spots so that we can protect our heart and live right before God. We put on the breastplate of righteousness because we are called to be people of spiritual integrity. So put it on. Put on that armor in your fight against the evil one. We're going to close in a time of worship. I want to invite you just to pray with me for a moment, and then Bob and the team are going to lead us in a time of worship as we continue. Father, we recognize that your desire for us is to be people who don't just believe your word, who don't just believe in Jesus, but live that out, that we live lives of spiritual integrity. But we have blind spots in our lives. Help us to recognize where those are. Help us to be willing to open our hearts and minds to the truth of where we may be off base with you. And God, as we do that, would you reveal those areas to us? Would you give us the courage to search the scriptures, to allow you to reveal us to us where our blind spots are, and maybe even to take that difficult step of asking someone else. And God, as we do that, we pray that it would lead us to honor you in our lives. That we love you and we want our life to be lined up with our love for you. Help us to do that because we need your strength. And help us to do that with a heart and a spirit that just simply says, we're open to you, God. Not because it's something that is you're trying to smash us over the head with, but because you want what's best for us, and we believe that. So help us to pursue you in this. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.